content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we left off in the month of February, and our topic is watering. And the next one is for watering for edibles and perennials and ornamental grasses. Do not overwater seedlings or transplants. Water them when the surface of the medium feels dry. Do not allow the pot or flats to dry out. If they're uncovered, check them daily and water as needed. And lawns. Moisten newly sodded areas of cool season lawns so the sod will knit into the soil. Water immediately after sodding to wet the soil to a depth of 3 or 4 inches. Don't let the soil dry out until the sod has knitted or rooted into the soil. Observe established lawns for signs of drought stress and apply an inch of water per week in the absence of precipitation. For warm season grasses, dormant and overseeded lawns may have to be watered if it's been dry, warm, and windy. And for roses, shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, water newly set plants at planting. Keep the soil moist, but avoid excessive watering, which can inhibit root growth. If severe cold is forecast for your area, water evergreens before the soil freezes. The roots are not able to take up moisture when the soil is frozen. And our next topic is when to fertilize. And this on annuals. Feed indoor-grown transplants with a water-soluble fertilizer, such as 20-20-20, at half strength every other week. Coastal plain gardeners can fertilize pansies when new growth resumes. A liquid fertilizer may have to be applied every 2 weeks. For bulbs, the best fertilizer for bulbs is a soil that's rich in organic matter. Adding nutrients periodically to replace nutrients absorbed by the growing plants, however, will help them bloom in top form. Spring bulbs whose shoots have emerged should be fertilized with a complete fertilizer such as 10-10-10. Apply 1 rounded teaspoon per square foot. Brush off any fertilizer from the leaves. If you fertilized with a slow-release fertilizer last fall, it is not necessary to fertilize now. Edibles. Fertilize indoor-grown transplants with a water-soluble fertilizer such as 20-20-20 at half strength every other week. Outdoors, fertilize the newly emerging growth of established asparagus beds with a nitrogen-containing fertilizer. Gardeners on the coast can side-dress beets, carrots, and English peas. Lawns. Do not fertilize cool season or dormant lawns at this time. Overseeded muddergrass and zoysia grass lawns can be fertilized this month. Use a fertilizer recommended by soil test results. Do not apply a fertilizer containing phosphorus and potassium if adequate levels are already present in the soil. And remember, this is the month that we are reading for is February right now. And also for fertilizing for perennials and ornamental grasses, seedlings growing in soilless mixes need to be fertilized when the first true leaves appear. Feed at every other watering with a water-soluble fertilizer in order to promote faster growth until the plants are ready to plant outdoors. Water between feedings with plain water. And for shrubs, trees, vines, and undercover and ground covers, don't be too hasty to fertilize your shrubs and trees. Wait until at least bud break, when new growth emerges in the spring. Fertilize ground covers and vines based on need. It's best to rely on soil test results when you're going to replace any nutrients that are deficient in the soil. Don't be too hasty to fertilize your vines and ground covers. Fertilize when new growth begins. And our next topic is problem solving. For annuals, edibles, and perennials, and ornamental grasses, control any winter annual weeds such as bittercress, common chickweed, and henbit by hand pulling. Suppress them with a shallow layer of mulch. Damping off is a serious disease that attacks and kills seedlings. Overwatering, lack of drainage, poor ventilation, and crowding can foster an attack. With seedlings, the stem rots at or close to the soil surface. This is mainly caused by the fungi present in the seed-starting medium. Damping off is easier to prevent than cure. Use clean containers. If necessary, disinfect them with a 10% bleach solution, 1 part bleach to 9 parts water. Use a sterile, well-drained medium. Provide good conditions for rapid seed germination and development. Avoid waterlogging the medium when watering. Damping off can be reduced by cutting back the frequency of watering and increasing the amount of light. Bulbs. Watch out for aphids on forest bulbs. These soft-bodied insects suck plant sap with their piercing, sucking mouthparts, causing the leaves to curl and become malformed. Aphids can be controlled with insecticidal soap and other insecticides. A number of fungal diseases attack both growing plants and stored bulbs. Fungi invade planted bulbs through wounds, causing them to rot in the ground. The plants may look stunted, their leaves become yellow, and the plant dies. Bulbs attacked by these rots include daffodil, dahlia, gladiolas, and tulips. Stored bulbs may become infected through wounds or nicks in the tissue. Bulbs feel spongy and are discolored. Fungicides can be used to treat healthy bulbs dug from infected beds prior to planting in another part of the garden. the infected area can be treated with an appropriate fungicide at least 6 months before replanting. Depending on the disease and the course of action, the diseased bed may have to be avoided for several years. In the future, purchase and plant healthy bulbs. Because cultivars vary in their resistance to diseases, cultivate the more resistant types. Use care when digging up bulbs to avoid damaging them. And for lawns, hand-pull winter annuals. Treat wild garlic with a broadleaf herbicide when the air temperature is above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And for roses, apply dormant oil spray as described in our previous podcast for January, and cane boring insects such as square-headed wasps and small carpenter bees bore into the pith of cut rose stems, leaving a telltale hole in the tip. The attacked cane wilts and dies back. Control them only when high numbers are present. After pruning your roses, paint the cuts on stems larger than 1/4 inch in diameter with wood glue or shellac to block borers from entering. Remove any of last year's leaves that remain after pruning. Overwintering leaves could harbor disease spores. Apply a fresh layer of compost over the old mulch. To control black spot on suspected roses, apply fungicides after pruning. Powdery mildew susceptible varieties can be treated with a fungicide, neem oil or lime sulfur or others, at the first sign of the disease. Cankers are dark areas on canes caused by fungi. These dead areas often encircle the cane completely and kill all growth above the canker. Sometimes they elongate and extend down to the crown, killing the entire plant. These fungi enter healthy canes through wounds caused by winter injury or improper pruning cuts. Use sharp tools for clean cuts that will heal rapidly. Prune infected canes, cutting back to healthy tissue. Look at the pith or center of the cane and continue pruning back until the pith looks white. If you cut into diseased canes, disinfect your pruning shears with Lysol, which is less corrosive than the traditional mix of water and household bleach, which is 4 parts water to 1 part sodium hypochlorite. This will prevent diseases from spreading to other canes. And for shrubs, use dormant oil sprays on landscape plants to smother overwintering insects and mites before the plants leaf out. Camellia flower blight is a fungal disease that attacks only the flowers of Japanese camellia. Pull off all affected flowers and discard them. At the end of the flowering season, rake up and destroy all fallen blossoms and other plant debris. This disease requires community-wide attention. Educate your neighbors and encourage them to pick up and discard or destroy diseased flowers. And for trees, examine your Leland cypress, arborvita, and junipers for the pine cone-shaped nests of overwintering bagworms. Pick off the egg-containing bags and discard them. For vines and ground covers, some weed control will be required early in the establishment of ground covers. It should be able to outcompete marauding weeds and stay relatively weed-free after it becomes established and spreads. And for edibles, plant dormant asparagus crowns without any green shoots showing into a bed enriched with organic material such as compost, manure, or shredded leaves. And there's a little sidebar here, and it's, here's how to plant asparagus. And since I was thinking about this, but maybe lots of you are, because it's something that you can plant and sort of forget for a while. First, you plant the crown into the bottom of an 8-inch ditch deep furrow and cover with about 2 inches of soil. In heavier clay soils, set them 6 inches deep. Set the crowns 12 inches apart in the trench. As the new shoots emerge and grow, add another 2-inch layer of soil. Do this every 2 to 3 weeks until the trench is filled. Mulch with a 2-inch layer of compost to conserve water and control weeds. Begin harvesting asparagus spears in the 3rd year. If you must, harvest lightly in the 2nd year for no more than 2 weeks. Harvesting too much and too early results in weak plants. And we have finished February, so we're going to go on to March. And she talks about March as we herald the arrival of spring and the many opportunities to spend cash on the latest, greatest gadgets and thingamabobs, become a frugal gardener. Here are just a few economical green techniques that will save you some green this gardening season. Grow your own plants from seeds, divisions, or cuttings. Share or trade open-pollinated heirloom plants with friends and acquaintances. Layering is a simple, foolproof way of propagating these pass-along plants. Reuse foam coffee cups, paper cups, cottage cheese tubs, yogurt containers, margarine containers, and cut-off milk cartons as seed-starting pots. Poke holes in the bottom for drainage. You can also make pots out of newspapers. The clamshells with clear lids at salad bars make ready-to-use mini greenhouses for seed-starting or rooting cuttings. Use plastic milk jugs to seep irrigate your plantings. Punch holes in the sides of a jug with a large nail spaced about 2 inches apart. Bury the jug, but leave the neck above the soil. Fill the jug with water. Solutions of liquid fertilizer may be used to water and fertilize at the same time. And screw the cap on firmly. The water will gradually seep out, providing a slow, deep irrigation for nearby plants. That's interesting. When shopping for perennials, look for potted plants that contain several divisions or offsets that can be easily teased apart at planting. For the price of one pot, you can acquire several plants. Mulch your plantings. Fallen leaves make an attractive, fine-textured mulch when they're shredded with a lawnmower. Harvest rainwater to irrigate your landscape and garden this spring and summer. Attractive rain barrels, clay urns with spigots at the bottom, or makeshift pickle barrels make excellent vessels for capturing and using rainwater. Recycle organic yard trimmings and kitchen wastes and return them back into the landscape or vegetable garden as a soil conditioner or mulch. Create an edible landscape that tastes as good as it looks. Plant fruiting shrubs and trees that offer the dual benefits of aesthetics and nutrition. These include pawpaw, persimmon, pineapple guava, pomegranate, jujube, blueberries, olives, and banana. Look for Viente Cojol, a short-cycle compact banana with black mottled stems and tasty clusters of 3-inch-long bananas. And that, now we go to a plan, or plans for March. For annuals, before visiting the garden center, make a list of the kinds and quantities of annuals you need. Planning beforehand will help you avoid overindulging, so you purchase only what you need. And here's how. Measure the length and width of the flower bed and calculate the area in square feet. Area equals length times the width. If the bed is irregularly shaped, oval, round, or long, and winding, make a rough estimate. Jot down the kind of sun or shade-loving annuals you would like to plant in the bed. Include their spacing requirements. Refer to the seed packet or catalog for the correct spacing. And determine the number of plants you need. For bulbs, as your spring flowering garden begins to go into glory this spring, take photographs so you can refer to them later in the year. The photos will come in handy when you're making plans to spruce up your garden or extend your beds with spring flowering plants this fall. Also, sketch a planting map in your gardening journal to show where the bulbs are located. With an accurate plot plan, you will know where to plant spring flowering bulbs this fall. You'll also be able to plan for continuous flowering by sowing or transplanting annual or perennial flowers among the bulbs after their display has ended. Excuse me. For edibles, if you are serious about growing herbs and vegetables, document your observations, thoughts, and plans for the future. List the herbs and vegetables you planted in the garden. Include the names of seed companies, plant name, variety, planting date, and harvest date. For lawns, plan to recycle your grass clippings as you mow. Returning your grass clippings to the lawn saves time, energy, and money. and look at recycling grass clippings as a way of fertilizing your lawn. Grass clippings contain about 4% nitrogen, 0.5% to 1% phosphorus, 2% to 3% potassium, and smaller amounts of other essential plant nutrients. This is basically a 4-1-3 fertilizer. And perennials and ornamental grasses. Start perennials from seed, trade plants with neighbors, or purchase less expensive or smaller plants at the beginning. Know how many plants you'll need. Check out this chart. And the chart is the number of plants per square foot. And the inches are for 12 inches, you need one plant. And for 15 plants, you need only a half of a plant. Well, you figure it. You can figure out what you need. Assume the bed measures 48 square feet, 8 feet long and 6 feet wide, and you want to plant the perennials 15 inches apart. To determine the number of plants needed for the bed, use this equation. Area of bed times the spacing multiplier equals total number of plants. In our example, the perennials will be spaced 15 inches apart, so 48 square feet times 0.64 equals 31. Space 31 perennials 15 inches apart to occupy a 48 square foot bed. That's a little complicated, but we'll just use your mind, your own ideas of what you'd like and where you'd like them, and write it down so you'll know for next time. For roses, we've come to the end here. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. I'm sorry, that end wasn't too terrific, but we'll start again in our next episode. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And in the next time, I'm going to expand on this chart on how to calculate the number of perennials. If you're interested in that, I will clarify it a bit. Thank you.